Hey, good morning again. Really thrilled to have you here this morning. We are actually in week four of a brand new series. Not so brand new anymore, I suppose, but we're in week four of a series that's called Seven Decisions That Will Change Your Life. And I really have been praying that one or more of these decisions would literally, this has been my prayer, that one or more of these decisions would literally change your life or change the trajectory of your life. That one of these decisions would change your heart or change the current situation that you're in, or your current mindset, or change your marriage, or change your family, or change the impact that you make in this world, or change the legacy that you lead, right? That's been my hope, that these decisions would make this kind of difference. At the very least, at the very, very, very least, the one thing that I have been hoping to impress on you in the course of this series is very simply this, that decisions matter. The decisions we make in our life, they matter. Here's why. Because we said this as this whole series got started. It's the decisions that no one sees. It's the decisions that we make that no one sees that actually results in the life that everyone wants. Okay? No one sees the grace and the forgiveness that you continue to offer your spouse behind closed doors. They just see the marriage that they admire and they think, well, hey, that looks easy, right? It's not easy. It's not easy, right? It's a choice that they made every single day. No one sees the sacrifices that you make day in and day out. They just see the one time that you get to say yes to something you always dreamed about. And then people see you and they say, well, aren't they lucky? No, they're not lucky. They're disciplined, right? They made sacrifices. They made decisions that no one else saw that resulted in a life that everybody else looked on and admired, right? No one sees the late nights and the long years that you spent studying your tail off and working hard. They just see the success that you've achieved because of it. And they think, well, that's unfair. No, that's not unfair, right? They've earned that. So it's the decisions that no one sees that results in the life that everyone sees and that everyone notices and that everyone wants and admires. And it's those same decisions. Here's what this series has really been built on. It's those same decisions that we make today that I believe determines the stories that we tell about our lives tomorrow. And I want our lives, I want your life, and I want my life, I want our lives to be telling the stories that God wants us to be telling. And so the decisions that we make, the decisions that we make matter. Not just the occasional, infrequent, really big decisions, right? But the little, small, consistent decisions that we make every day, the decisions that add up to a lifetime, they matter. These decisions matter. And so the first decision we said was the decision to start. It was week one. And the big idea was this, that it's not necessarily about the grit to finish what we started. We hear that all the time, right? You got to finish what we started, and that's fair. But it's not always about the grit to finish what we started. Sometimes it's about having the courage to start what it is that God has promised to finish for us. It's the first decision to start. The next decision was to stop. We're saying there's something in our lives that we might have to stop, to let go of, to release out of our hands so that we can receive what it is that's in God's hands for us. There might be something we got to stop and say no more, no longer. Okay, last week's decision was the decision to stay. After looking at the story of Ruth, which is a great story, one of my favorite ever, after looking at her story, we see that sometimes the greatest act of faithfulness, and I think that we all really want to be faithful people, sometimes the greatest act of faithfulness is to stay right where we are. And so today, we're going to talk about the scary and maybe the unknown and maybe the uncertain but potentially life-changing decision to go. Okay? This is the first 4 weeks of the series. Start, stop, stay, go. Okay? If you're really tracking here, you'll notice there's kind of a unique pattern to these first 4 weeks. Start, stop, stay, go. Each one almost kind of like contradicts the one before it. Okay? Here's what I'm not trying to do this morning. I'm not trying to send mixed messages. Start, stop, stay. I'm not trying to send mixed messages this morning. No one likes mixed messages. All the guys in the room are going, please stand. No mixed messages, not here. Just let this be the one place in my life where you tell me exactly what you want me to do. Okay, I'm not sending mixed messages. That's not what I'm trying to do. But here's what I do realize. that we are all in different spots. Every one of us here this morning, we are all in different situations, we're all in different families, we're in different circumstances, we're in different stages, and we're in different seasons of life, we're in different places in our life, and it might be a different decision that we need to make that's going to make all the difference. It might be a different decision for us all that's going to be the decision that determines the story that we tell about our life tomorrow. So yes, I said last week that some of you may need to make the decision to stay right where you are. Some of you need to make the decision to stay when it would be easier to just go. I mean it. Right? Some of you need to stay right where your feet are planted. For some of you, I do believe that could be the decision that makes all the difference for you. And this week, I'd also say that the exact opposite for some people might be the decision. The exact opposite is also true, that for some of you here this morning, based on what God wants for you, based on what God has been planning for you, based on how God has equipped you, how God has wired you, how he's been preparing you, based on how you've been living your life to this point, the best decision that you could ever make is to actually go. When it would be so much easier, so much more comfortable, so much safer just to stay right where you are. It's the decision to go, right? To chase after something, to take a risk, to accept a challenge, to step up to the plate, or to step into the arena. Okay, I absolutely love a quote that came from Theodore Roosevelt about this very thing, about stepping into the arena. I love it. I mean, you might have heard it before, but here's what he says. He says, it's not the critic who counts. It's not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles or where the doer of deeds could have done them better. Here's what I like. He says, the credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs, who comes up short again and again because there is no effort without error and shortcoming, but who does actually strive to do the deeds, who knows great enthusiasms, the great devotions, who spends himself in a worthy cause, who at the best knows in the end the triumph of high achievement, and who at the worst, if he fails, at least he fails while daring greatly, so that his place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who neither know victory nor defeat. I love that. I love that. It's not the critic who counts. It's the man in the arena. It's the one that showed up. It's the one that's running the race. It's the one that's got some skin in the game. It's the one who made a decision to go after it when it would have been so much easier, so much more comfortable to just phone it in, to just ride the wave, to just let it play out on its own, and to just play it safe. It's the one who stepped into the arena, made the decision to go. I love it. And this morning, here's what I really want to get to, right? I think that there's absolutely no one better in the Bible, if we're looking there. I think there's no one in the Bible who demonstrates better the bravery and the courage and the faithfulness to get up and go than a man named Abram, who's later renamed Abraham. And I'll just refer to him like that mostly so we don't get confused, right? Abraham made the decision to go when God asked him to go. He made the decision to go when he didn't necessarily have all the details. He made the decision to go when he really wasn't actually sure, 100% sure of the destination, and when he wasn't really even given a map. And yet for generation after generation after generation after generation after generation after generation, it's the single decision that Abraham is remembered for. And so we look at his story. When we do that this morning, we're going to see a couple things. We're going to see, number one, I think we're going to see what it is that makes the decision to go so scary. I mean, I want us to just identify that so we might know what it is that's holding us back. When we look at his story this morning, I think we're going to see what it is for all of us that makes the decision to go after something, to step into the ring, to step up to the plate. I think we're going to see what it is that makes it so scary, but we're also going to see how it very well may lead to the fulfillment of some of God's greatest promises to us. So Abraham, he is the man of the hour. He is the man of the morning. And we're going to put part of his story under the microscope today. But before we do that, let's just first kind of recap and remind you what it is that we know about Abraham at this point. Abraham is often referred to as Father Abraham. And you might be wondering why. Here's why. Because he's considered to be the father of our faith, right? The faith that so many of us have here this morning. He's the one that got the whole thing rolling. He's one of the three names that are like most revered in the Old Testament, right? When they refer to the earliest patriarchs of God's family, it's always the same three: Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Those are the three, right? Their ancestors refer, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They refer to their ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Those are the big dogs. And Abraham is the lead-off man. So when we first meet Abraham, it's in Genesis chapter 11, we learn a couple things. We learn that he had settled in the land of Haran with his entire family, and we also learn that he and his wife, Sarah, are unable to have children. They had none at the time, and it indicates that Sarah would not be able to have any children in the future. And yet, for any of you that kind of know the story about Abraham, or for any of you who grew up singing or just hearing the song about Abraham, you know the song goes like this: Father Abraham had many sons. Many sons had Father Abraham. So if you know that, then you also realize that something must have changed. Right? Something must have changed for him. These many sons, these descendants, that was a huge gift and that was a huge blessing, just like it is today, but especially in that day. Okay, this was a huge gift and it was something that was not supposed to happen, right? So if you know the song and you know how this story plays out, then you realize, well, something must have changed. And so I want us to drop in on the moment when I think everything began to change for Abraham. Okay, it's in Genesis 12, starting in verse 1. Here's what it says. The Lord had said to Abraham, go. Lord said to Abram, go, right? He's saying it's decision time. And we can see here that God's instructions to Abraham was setting him up to make a pretty important decision: stay or go. That's a question I think that so many of us are asking ourselves all the time. Should I stay or should I go now, right? We want to know. We're asking ourselves that all the time. Stay or go? What do I do? It's Abraham's decision, right? But before we see how he responds, let's see where God is asking him to go, and let's see what God is asking him here to do. Here's how it plays out. Right, it says, the Lord said to Abram, go from your country, go from your people, go from your father's household to the land I will show you. He said, leave everything that you know. Go from your homeland, go from your own people, go from your own household to the land I will show you. Leave everything and head for a place that you've never really seen before. You've never been there before. I can only imagine the things that are racing through his mind. But I've lived here for years. But I moved here and I settled here with my dad and with my wife and I like it here and all my friends are here and my house is almost paid off and my favorite falafel stand is right down the street and I, you know, keep my camels boarded at the place just outside of town. Right? This is home for me. I don't want to leave. So this is precisely, I think, what makes it so hard for any of us to make the decision to go after something when it would be so much easier and so much more comfortable to stay. Here's what I think makes it so hard about responding to God's call for us to go up and get after something when it would be so much easier to stay. Here's why. Because God isn't always clear about where to go to, but most often he's really clear about where to go from. Go from everything you've known, Abram. Go from your hometown and from your own people and go to a place that I'll kind of let you in on somewhere down the line. Right? God isn't always clear about where to go to, but he's often pretty clear about where we're supposed to go from. That's what makes it so hard, I think, for us to respond to God's call to go when we need to go, right? But oftentimes, God's just trying to get our attention. He's just saying, hey, you just got to go. You got to get out of here. You got to go after it. You can't hang around here any longer. And we're going, okay, well, just tell me what you want me to do. Tell me where you want me to go. And he's going, hey, you don't need to know that right now. I'll fill you in on the way, right? Right now, I'm just telling you, you got to go. I'm getting things lined up for you, I promise. But right now, you just got to go, right? God isn't always clear about where to go to, but sometimes he's very clear about where to go from, that it's time to go. We got to move on. We got to take a step, okay? And that's why this is so hard. I think that's why that's a hard step for us to take. Because it might sound obvious, but in order to go somewhere else, you got to leave where you are. That's how it works, right? In order to go somewhere else, you got to leave where it is that you are. You got to walk away from a life that you kind of figured out how to live. You got to walk away from a life where you kind of know the ropes, for better for worse, right? Whether you're happy about it or not, you've learned how to thrive, or you've learned how to manage, or you've learned how to cope with your circumstances. Even if it's not great, right? There's often comfort in the pain that we do know, as opposed to the pain that we don't know, right? And so that might be where you're at. And so God might be calling you and saying, hey, you got to walk away from all of that, from everything that you know, whether it's good or bad, right? You're safe here. You're comfortable there. God might be calling you to walk away from all that. And you got to go to where you have no idea. You got to walk away from what you know and go to a place that is completely unknown. You got to go from what you are very familiar with to a place where you do not know what to expect. That's the decision that Abraham is facing. It's a scary one. But here's the good news. God's instructions, God's urging, God's kind of pushing or calling on us are oftentimes accompanied by some of his greatest promises as well. Not promises to reveal all the details all at once, not promises that, hey, this is going to be easy, you just do what I ask and it's all going to be good. Not promises like that, but promises that he's going to be faithful to us in the midst of it all, okay? And that's what happens here with Abraham. He tells him to go, leave everything you know. He tells him to go, but not without making a promise to him. And so here's the promise he makes to Abraham. It's the very next verse. He says, I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. That's the same way of saying that God is going to make him the father of a big old family for generations to come. The idea of a great nation, that's what he's getting at. You're going to be the father of a big old family for generations to come. It's the first indication that Abraham's childless days are no longer and that his fortunes are about to turn. He says, make you into a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all people on earth will be blessed through you. It's the promises that he makes to Abraham. And verse 4 says it very clearly. So Abram went as the Lord had told him. He went. He left everything. He left everything that he knew. He left everything that he had ever known, really, and made a decision to go. Even when it would probably have been so much easier to just stay. And I think it's the decision that Abram made that paved the way for everything that happened to him from that moment on. More blessings than he could ever imagine. A child, ultimately, that he did not think was possible. A son, more descendants than he would be able to count. Right, more numerous than the stars, the Bible says to us, right? And he had more of a role in God's work on earth than he probably ever thought he was cut out for. To be the one that God is going to use to bless the whole world. More of everything than he probably could have ever imagined. Here's what that says to me. That in order to take a step toward all that God has promised, we might have to take a step away from all that we had planned. Does that make sense, right? In order to step toward all the things that God has promised us, sometimes it means that we might have to take a step away from all that we had planned, everything that we had arranged, everything that we had kind of set up and built up, and everything that we had situated around us just like we wanted it. If we want to take a step toward everything that God has promised to us, sometimes we've got to take a step away from all of the things that we had planned and built up for ourselves. In a way, God is saying to Abraham, hey, I know I'm asking you to make a pretty big move here. I know you can't see what's around the bend. I know I'm asking you to leave everything that you've ever known, but I've got great things, a great future, great blessings in store for you, and I've got a great work for you to be a part of. And if he could, I think God would want to say the very same thing to you and to me. Hey, I know you're scared. I know you can't really see what's next. I know you can't really see around the bend. I know you can't necessarily figure out exactly how this is going to all play out, but I've got great things planned for you, and I've got a great work for you to be a part of. I think if he could, God would want to say the very same thing to each and every one of us here this morning. And so the question is this, based on what you think, and I hope this is something that you're starting to think more and more about right now, but based on what you think God might want for you, based on what he might have in store for you, based on what you think it is that he might have been preparing you for or equipping you for, what's the very next step you need to take? Where might God be calling you to go, and what might he be calling you to do? What is it? For some of you, maybe is, you know, God is calling you to lead others or to serve others spiritually. God might be calling you to go serve across the world. Maybe God's calling you to go serve across the country, or maybe, and sometimes I think this is more the case than we think, but maybe God's just calling you to go across the street, or go across the hall, or go across the classroom, and to serve and to influence the people that God has put in your life, right? Would you go, whether it's across the street or across the country, would you go when it would be so much more comfortable to just stay in the world that you have created? You might be scared. You might be going, I don't know how people are going to respond to me. I might not know what to say. I might not have all the right answers. I might not know what to do if somebody actually does respond to me, right? But maybe the decision is to go when it would be so much easier, when it feels so much safer just to stay. Maybe you sense, you know, God is wanting you to get help for something, for an addiction or for anxiety or for depression or, you know, maybe relationship help, but that too is scary, right? As challenging as it's all been, you can't really imagine life any other way. You figured out how to kind of get by, right? That's what I said. The pain we know is often a whole lot easier to comprehend or to manage than the pain that we don't know. And we say, nah, the road ahead for that feels too long, too uncertain, too scary. Maybe God is calling you to finally go to the meeting. Or maybe God is calling you to, you know, finally schedule the appointment or to show up or to take a chance or to step into the arena. Maybe there's a dream that God put inside of you that's just bursting inside of you. And the best decision you could ever make is to quit making excuses and to just go after it. Right, just write the first chapter. Write the introduction of the book that you've always wanted to write. Just take the first class for the degree that you've always wanted to finish. Take the one lesson of the hobby that you've always wanted to explore and to test your hand at. Right? Maybe for you, you have a heart for children in difficult circumstances. Maybe God is calling you to adopt and to start writing a new chapter in the life of a young child, or maybe he's calling you to you know, foster parent or to find some way to reach into the lives of countless kids and families for years to come. Maybe for you it's a decision to go to church regularly, whether that's here, which I'd be thrilled about, or whether that's somewhere else, I'd love to help you find that place. Maybe it's the decision to finally go to church regularly, to make church a priority, or to, you know, get involved in a church for the first time. Maybe it's a decision to walk away from an unhealthy relationship or distancing yourself from an unhealthy group of friends in your life. Maybe it's moving, maybe it's accepting the new job or starting a new business or going back to school. Whatever it is, and this list could go on and on and on. Whatever it is that God is calling you to, wherever it is that God is calling you to go, I'm willing to bet I know the questions that you're asking. But I know the things that you're saying to yourself. You're going, God, I don't know. I'm afraid. This sounds really hard. What if it doesn't work? What exactly is going to happen? Where exactly is this path going to lead? What exactly are you asking me to do? Or where exactly are you asking me to go? It can be so scary. I get that. But if God is calling you to go, if he's urging you to go and it would be so much easier to just stay, I hope that you'd have the faith to go. And that means you're going to have to leave where you are. You have to leave what's comfortable. You're going to have to leave what's safe. You're going to have to leave the world that you know in order to go where God is calling you. Because in order to take a step toward all that God has promised, we often have to take a step away from all that we had planned. And I don't want you, I don't want any single one of you this morning to miss out on what God is doing and to miss out on what God is planning for you, right? Years from now, you could look back on this decision and you could realize this is the day that changed everything for me. That's the day that my story changed forever. That's the day my family changed forever. I wasn't sure what I was doing. I wasn't exactly sure where I was going. I wasn't exactly sure how that whole deal was going to play out, but I knew, I had a sense that that's what God wanted for me. And so I did it anyway. And so now you're writing a different story. Now you're saying, hey, well, you know, now I'm a part of a great community of believers who support me, or now I'm a part of a great small group that's always there for me, or now I'm giving back to people and giving back to God in a way that I never imagined I could have before, or now I found purpose in my life that brings me so much more joy and fulfillment than I, you know, could have ever imagined. Now I found a job that I love. Now I have a family that loves God and that loves to be together, or now I have fill in the blank. I don't know where God is calling you to go. I don't know where he's, you know, asking you to step up to the plate. I don't exactly know where he's asking you to step into the arena. I don't know where God's calling you to go. I don't know exactly what he's asking you to do. But one day, you'll look back on it all, and you'll be able to say one of two things. Either I felt like God was calling me to go, but I was afraid, and so I did nothing. Or you'll say, I felt like God was calling me to go. And even though I was afraid, I did it anyway. And it changed the story that I get to tell today. You get to pick. And I'm just praying that when the time is right, and when God is really calling you to go, to step into the arena, I'm just praying that you'd have the faith to go, even when it would be so much easier, so much safer, so much more comfortable to stay. Let me pray. God, we give you thanks for the lives of people that have gone before us, right? I mean, thousands of years ago, generations ago. We give you thanks for the faithfulness of these people like Abraham, that we get to read their story, God. We give you thanks for the lessons we learn. We give you thanks for the legacy that they leave because of the hard decisions that they made, right? To start or to stop or to stay or to go. God, we're grateful for what it is that we learn when we look at their stories. And I'm just asking that you would help us when the time is right and in the right place, God, to have the courage and the faith and the wisdom to make the decision that we need to make. And God, for some people here, I don't exactly know what it is. I could try to guess, or I could try to list off, you know, 1,000 different things about what it might be, and I don't know, God, but for some people here this morning, there is something, there's somewhere that you're calling There's somewhere that you're asking people, hey, would you go? Would you take a step? Would you take a chance? Would you take a swing? Would you step into the arena, God? I don't know what it is. But I know that for each person here, God, there is something stirring in our hearts. There is a place that you have asked us to go. And God, wherever it is, whatever it is, I'm just praying for your guidance, God, your comfort in the midst of the steps that we might take, God. Would you remind us of the promises that are to come? Not the promise that it's going to be easy, or not the promise that, hey, here's exactly everything. God, would you just remind us that you are there and that you're working, whether we know it or not, God, would you remind us of the things that you are planning for us, God, the life that you're carving out for us and the things that you're calling us to do. And God, even when it's hard, I pray that we would have the faith to go. To take a chance, to accept the challenge, to step up, to step into the arena. God, I'm praying that we would have the faith, that we would have the courage, that we would have the guts to go when you've called us to go. Would you help us do this, God? Would you help us to do it in ways that honor you and point to you and give thanks to you in everything that we do? God, we're grateful for who you are, and most of all, we're grateful for your Son, Jesus Christ. And we pray these things in his name. Amen.